And he has given us, we talked about that yesterday, he's given us the Holy Spirit. He has exposed ourselves to his own thoughts. He has allowed us to be able to think the way he thinks and the way that we can understand that. And if I start the day saying to myself, I want to be more holy today, it's a good desire, but if it's focused only on my own efforts, I will probably be disappointed by 9 a.m. or maybe before. Whereas if I start the day realizing that God has made me holy, God has set me apart already for himself, and I enjoy that, and I appreciate that, then the things that come along I will be somewhat more blind to, you might say, and I will be able to refuse the evil and choose the good because it's in line with what I already know is true about what God did for me. Not that I'm trying to get somewhere on my own, but because it's in keeping with what I know of my own Christianity that God did in me and for me, then it's a different, it may look the same, but it's from a different energy point, a different source of energy. And so I think it's necessary, it's good to start that way, the way you did.
The other way to also look at it is practice comes out of position, right? Mm-hmm. We sin because we are sinners. Sanctification practically is going to come out of the appreciation and understanding that this is what God has done and enabled us to do. You know, one of the verses that, I don't know if we have time to continue calling out verses for practical sanctification, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we get, this is the will of God. And everyone, every young person at some point in your life wants to know and discern the will of God. One of the ones, he says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And then he goes and gives an example of what he means in very specific terms to address the particular need that was there in the Thessalonians. And then further down, he says, where is it? Verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness.
Good.
And so we practice when we understand where our position is. I'm a sinner because I sin because I'm a sinner. I practice sanctification because God has given me, he has sanctified me and has given me all that's required to work it out.
Okay. And Mark has just brought us to where I wanted to take us. So let's, while we're in 1 Thessalonians. But I don't want to start in chapter 4. I want to start at the end because I'm kind of a backwards kind of guy. So let's go to chapter 5 and verse 23. If we could have verse 23 and 24 read. If someone could read those two verses. Don't all start reading at the same time. That would be
Thessalonians 5, is it?
Yeah. First Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Okay. Now, what did we learn in verse 23 about this whole subject of sanctification? What do we learn? What can we say? That God has a purpose. God's purpose is that we be sanctified, okay? And we've been saying that, but now take that thought and go to those verses back, and we're going to come back, we're going to jump back and forth, but take those verses, that thought, and go to the verses, and I would like to start a little bit higher up than where Mark started us. I'd like to start in chapter 3 and verse 11. And I want you to scan down in those verses from 11 to 12 of chapter 4, and look how many times the thought of holiness and sanctification is brought out. Just scan it now for yourself. In verse 11, Paul's prayer for the church Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. So that, now here's the purpose. See, love in action is to accomplish a purpose. And that's what we see here. So that he, God, may establish your hearts blameless in, what's the word? Holiness. Before, in the presence of, we talked about that yesterday, in the sight of God, in the presence of our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the end in view. But then as he goes on and he says that we're to have a walk pleasing, so that's our practice. We're to have a walk, our conduct of life. For you know what commandments we have given to you, verse 2. And then in verse 3, as Mark has mentioned to us, this is the will of God. And I think there's 5 times in the New Testament where we read, this is the will of God. God's will, and I don't want to get in a subject on God's will, but I'll just say this, and you can talk to me later. You can challenge me on it. But God's will is the same for every one of us. God's will is, for example, that no man should be lost. God's will is that every one of us be sanctified. And if I take those 5 verses, and God's will is the same. Now the Lord's will for each of us are different. It's different. As we surrender to the Lordship of Christ in our life, that's different. But God's will for every born-again believer is that we be sanctified. He wants us to be set apart for him. And he says this here. And then in verse 4, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, in separation. Separation not only from, but first of all and foremost, I would like to suggest to. Separated to God. And if we're separated to God for his pleasure and for his use, then we're going to be separated from. And other way, if we change it around, we're going to have a legal attitude toward this whole thing. But if the object that we're turning to is so great, we'll leave the other object behind. And the object of the person of Christ is so lovely, is so great, that we're going to naturally want to leave everything else behind and just be solely separated to him. Right? Go ahead.
I mean, you didn't miss, but I think there's one other aspect in the verse that you first pointed out in 1 Thessalonians 5, where I pray God, and I think this is where we often and I'll point the finger directly at myself, I'm often so occupied with how I can please God that I'm not really looking around to those around me to find out how I might be able to more effectively pray for them as well. Mm. And it's not just that I might be sanctified, but that I might have an effect on those around me. And the Apostle Paul was very, very conscious of this. And he knew what God wanted for them, but he was also praying that that would be the case. Mm-hmm. And I know for myself that I fall down on this so much that I might be occupied with how I might be able to please God. But one of the ways is to look around me and pray for those around me. And I fall very short of this.
Yeah. And Paul could pray that because why?
Well, it wasn't because he was in prison with a bunch of time on his hands.
Well, but before the prison,
right?
He says, "I beat my body into submission." He had a sanctified life. He had a separated life. He had one goal in his life, and that was to please the one who enlisted him into service. And that's the sanctification we're talking about. And so then, since his life was set apart and his life was holy, we can say that not perfectly, but it was holy, then he would say, you know what? I want others to enjoy what I'm enjoying. And that's where your thought comes in. Very good.